from the Mercy One Studio.
Thought of the Week with Monsignor Frank Bugnano every Wednesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio and online at iowacatholicradio.com or the Iowa Catholic Radio app.
And this is Monsignor Frank Bugnano, Thought of the Week. Today I'm going to try to tackle some difficult, honest, good questions that come at me, us as Catholics, and we'll just talk about me as a priest, to just talk about how to answer some really good objections or questions people have about the Catholic faith or Christianity itself. Here's a question that came in. What is Catholic guilt? What's the point of guilt? First of all, I got to remember, guilt is an emotion. It's a good one. Thank goodness we have it, okay? And so if a little kid, smacks his baby sister and hurts her, that kid feels guilty. That's good. You have to repair. Guilt comes when there's an interruption in a personal relationship with another person or with God. And so if I steal $1 million from the poor little widow across the street or whatever, pretty soon I feel guilty because I see that she doesn't have any groceries, so I return the money or whatever I do. Well, that guilt was good. It moved me to restore the relationship. Same way with God. That when I sin, when I interrupt my relationship with God, I feel guilty. Good. Yeah. Get it together, man. Right? Same way with everybody else. So guilt is a good thing. Now, there's a guilt that's not good. You're making me feel guilty. Well, maybe it's good. I don't know. But maybe they mean by Catholic guilt. Maybe it's guilt that is unwarranted. It's we're scrupulosity. I feel guilty about a lot of stuff. I was taught that if I drop my rosary, that I'm going to go to hell or something. No. So you got to get that straight. Well, what is right and wrong? That's guilt. And the other thing about guilt is, I want to say this, is that I think a lot of people, the origin of that is that they have their understanding of God is not correct. Okay. All right. I mean, look into history, look at the different gods, goddesses and all that, man, it's wild, especially the Greeks, their gods and goddesses, whatever. So people, but I want folks listening to this today, you might look at your own conscience for a second, your own concept of God. Some people walk around, I'm going to give you six of them, all right? You ready? Fast fire here. The payback God. Oh, God's paying me back, all right? I lost a bet, or I got a flat tire, out in the middle of nowhere. He's paying me back because I didn't go to Mass. No, this is my payback. No. I'll give you the true concept of God in a minute. No. Domineering God. Oh, he's up there and he's got this big ego and he's domineering and he's just kind of moving things around, doesn't have much feeling for anything, and pretty abstract, Domineering God. Is that your concept of God? Wrong. How about the terrifying God? Right. Oh, God. Yeah. He's after me. He's going to punish me. I know what's going on. He's punishing me. So he is going to terrify me to keep me straight out and straight and narrow. Forget that one. How about the angry God? Oh, I know who God is. He's always angry. And that's, in the Old Testament, he's going to wipe out the Philistines. He's angry with that anger God. No, Jesus never describes God as angry. Ever. The Old Testament talks about anger because they didn't have any other concept of God, of why things were going on. So he assumed he must be angry. But Jesus straightens that all out. The Stoic God, S-T-O-I-C, Stoic. What does that mean? Well, the Stoic means that he's kind of an intellectual. He's up there. He doesn't really care what's going on. Things kind of are on their own. Things will straighten themselves out, I think. So he's not really, doesn't really care. Or the Disgusted God. I am so disgusted with you. Oh, my gosh. No. Oh, man. So, you know, I have been patient with you all your life, and what are you doing? You're still goofing off. No, I'm disgusted. The Disgusting God. God, the Disgusted God. No. Well, what's the real concept? That's what Jesus comes to do, is to straighten out our idea of God, who God is. And what does he do? He tells a story. And the story is the story of the prodigal son. You've all heard it. You know, the young man goes off, takes half of his inheritance from the will, half the estate, goes off to a foreign land, a Gentile land, spends the money on prostitutes and gambling and drinking and whatever. And what does he do? Loses the money, winds up taking care of pigs, eating with pigs. And then he says, geez, I'm going back to my father. At least I'll get a job there. I don't have to eat with pigs. He goes back to his dad. What's his dad doing? Sitting on the front porch, waiting for him, waiting, hoping, looking down the road with a tear in his eye. Where's my boy? Where's my boy? Where's my boy? And here he comes. Hey, there he is, my son. What does the dad do? He gets up and runs down the road toward his son. Now, remember that noble folks never ran, just slaves ran. He runs to his son, grabs him, kisses him, puts a robe on him, gives him a royal ring for his finger. Now he's a member of the family, and he's got the family ring on his finger. He's got sandals on his feet. Only slaves were barefoot. He's not a slave. He's my son. I'm going to have a party for him. I love him. I kiss him. And the Jewish people are hearing this parable, and they said, what? What? Yeah, it was very difficult for a Jewish person to hear this parable about the kid who went off and ate with pigs. So Jesus says, no, that's the true concept of God. God has unconditional love, and it never stops. He has no conditions. Just love me back. We'll talk more about that, too. The true concept of God. Monsignor Frank Pignano, Iowa Catholic Radio, Thought of the Week.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Lee and Eddie in the Morning provided by Bell Construction.
Bell Construction is a roofing company. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494. Bell Construction.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall. Online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic. With two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling graduate, and Dr. Craig Harper, the Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at 60th and Ashworth in West Des Moines. 515-440-4610 or online, ashworthvision.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security is a Catholic-owned family business supplying security systems, access control systems, video surveillance, fire alarm systems, and video doorbells. All alarm systems are monitored out of their monitoring center located in the state of Iowa. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com.
This is Monsignor Frank Bagnano. Difficult questions. I tried to answer this one question about God, you know, guilt and shame. And I tell people, how do I get over that feeling? Read the parable of the loss of the son who was lost. The prodigal son, It's chapter 15 of the Gospel of Luke, starting with verse 11. Luke 15, read that. Read it once a day. Read it. Ask God to give you the meaning of the parable in your own life. Really, that'll do so much. Once we understand that God is constantly reaching out to us, loving us, constantly, day and night, there's not a split second during the night that he's not loving you and me. Absolutely, he is doing it. That's his very nature, you know. For him not to love would be, he can't not love because, no, that's his nature, right? And so some people say, well, what do I do with shame? Wow. When I feel guilty, it keeps me feeling shameful and down when I feel guilty. It doesn't do me any good. I feel like my shame or guilt keeps me at a distance from Christ and the church. What do I do with that? Well, what I would do with that is when I feel guilty, well, what are you guilty about? If you've done some horrible things and you feel no guilt, be careful. You might be on the edge of being a sociopath. Remember, what's a sociopath? Somebody can go into a grocery store and kill 10 people with a rifle and not feel badly at all. That's sociopath. It's a mental illness. Okay. But if your shame keeps you distance with Christ and guilt, well, if you're a Catholic, well, go to confession. My gosh, that's why we have it. Because we would all be feeling that way all the time if we didn't have a way of letting Jesus reach out and touch us and forgive us in the sacrament of reconciliation. So, yeah. And look at the crucifix. He died to take away your sins. He died out of love. So I always ask people, do you pray? That's my number one question. Well, I kind of pray once in a while. Well, that's not going to do it. No. You have to take, if you have this problem, at least a half an hour a day with Jesus in church, in front of the Blessed Sacrament, if that's possible. If not, in a place where you can look at a crucifix or have a place to have a chat with Jesus and talk. Just listen and talk. Have your Bible there and let Jesus talk to you. You've got to get that prayer life going. Then you'll realize that he is loving you. Oh, he came to take away your guilt. You shouldn't be having that because you're free. Okay? So, and now here's another question I get once in a while from people. How can we forgive ourselves after confession of sins and we still feel guilty? What about I go to confession, I still feel guilty? Same thing. I would say, golly, are you praying every day? Are you going before the Lord? Read the prodigal son, Luke 15. Read that over and over and over again and ask the Lord to speak to you. I would say that and go to confession, I'd say every couple of weeks, because confession has healing power in it. And I'll talk about that in a second. Okay. So that's what I would suggest. God has forgiven you. Forgive yourself. Oh, by humble yourself. How can I forgive myself? Well, that must mean that you thought you were really great. You know, oh, I can't forgive myself. I couldn't have possibly done that. You know, come on, be humble. You're human. You were human. You know, you sinned. Okay, big deal. That's why Jesus came. So accept it. It's all right. We're all sinners. I think maybe subconsciously you're thinking, I couldn't possibly have done that. You know, so, okay. Here's another one. If a priest who is human and therefore himself a sinner, how can he forgive sins? The priest is human and a sinner. How can he forgive sins? Well, first, let's talk about the human part. That's why God took on a human nature, Jesus Christ, to forgive sins. So he can forgive through humanity in general, right? Okay. Now, the priest is a sinner. So how can he forgive sins? Well, first of all, he is simply the instrument of God forgiving. He says, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I absolve you from all your sins. So it's by the power of God that's going on. It's not by, he's got his own power somehow or other. No, he has the office. The Holy Spirit has been given to him to do this. And that's what ordination does when you're ordained a priest or a bishop. hands are laid upon your head, a symbol of the Holy Spirit coming down on you, giving you the authority, the role, the instrument to forgive sins, because the Holy Spirit will now use you, will use your humanity to forgive someone. Your words, I absolve you from your sins. So, yeah, that's true. And also, look, let's look at St. Peter, right? He denied Christ. Okay, 48 hours later, Easter Sunday night, Jesus appears to the apostles in the upper room, the risen Christ. He, it says he breathes on them. Well, then it explains. And then he explained what he was doing. Receive the Holy Spirit. So he's giving them the Holy Spirit, right? And then what does he say? Whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Whose sins you retain are retained. He said in positive and negative, like a good rabbi does. Whose sins you forgive. He's talking, looking at St. Peter. Peter, 48 hours ago, you committed a horrible sin. You denied me. But whose sins you forgive are forgiven. So it doesn't make any, the condition of the soul of the priest is not, does, it does not interrupt with the power to forgive sins or to make the Eucharist or to perform other sacraments. It's the Holy Spirit, Jesus, doing it through his humanity. So that's right there. He did it with Peter. He said, you know, whose sins you forgive are forgiven, whose sins you retain are retained. He didn't say, except for you, Peter. No, no, everybody there. So we'll keep talking about this. Monsignor Frank Bugnano, Difficult Questions.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Five Sons Naturescapes. Five Sons Naturescapes is a Catholic veteran-owned family company providing premium outdoor landscaping. Clean up and restore outdoor living space with retaining walls, privacy fencing, pergolas, paver sidewalks, and patios. Issues with soil settling and water around the foundation and yard? Five Sons Naturescapes can grade and install drainage tile to help. Five Sons Naturescapes online at fivesonsnaturescapes.com.
What is the best gift ever? Giving a Catholic education is at the top of my list. Your contribution to CTO helps families send their children to our Catholic schools who otherwise could not afford it. In giving to CTO, you receive the best tax credits ever. Pledge or donate online at ctoiowa.org. The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
Since 1924, St. Vincent de Paul has been helping those less fortunate work towards self-sufficiency. Last year, St. Vincent de Paul helped over 20,000 individuals with food, clothing, and shelter, while also offering classes in financial literacy, high school completion, career readiness, and prisoner reentry. SVDPDSM.org, 515-282-8327. Shop, donate, volunteer, serve. This message was brought to you by Homemakers Furniture.
Iowa Catholic Radio and the Iowa Catholic Radio Foundation welcomes country artist Lori Morgan, presented by Mercy One. Lori Morgan.
Except for Monday, which was never good anyway. Tuesday, I get a little sigh.
To the Horizon Event Center, July 15th.
God, part of no, don't you understand?
With Jesse Keith Whitley and Eli Alger.
Eli Alger.
Learn more at CelebrateCountry.org.
CelebrateCountry.org.
Sponsored by Valiant Wealth Family Office.
Senior Frank Pignon, I'm talking about some difficult questions. And so this person says, it doesn't say in the Bible we have to confess our sins to the priest. Well, it does. It says, whose sins you forgive or forgive. Well, how are you going to know what sins to forgive if somebody doesn't tell you? Okay. Mainly when Jesus said that on Easter Sunday night to the apostles, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Whose sins you retain are retained. He was talking mainly about baptism. But also talking about the sacrament of reconciliation. Those are two sacraments of forgiveness that we have in the church. And Peter exercised it. He did. Sure. You know, if you read in the Acts of the Apostles, it says chapter 2, I believe it is here, that he says to the, it says Peter stood up and was preaching. And then he says to the people, everybody said after he preached on Pentecost Sunday, they had received the Holy Spirit. He says, you have to believe in Jesus Christ and be sorry for your sins, repent, and accept Jesus and believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, whatever. Okay? And so he said, repent. Here you go. Peter said to them, all right, you want to know what to do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Wow. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, repent and be baptized. Well, who did the baptizing? Well, Peter did it, and the other apostles, they did it. Well, wait a minute. They were sinful people. I know, but baptism worked. If you're baptized, your sins will be forgiven. I mean, this is so simple, really. Church has been doing it for 2,000 years, by the way. So it really doesn't. And by the way, anybody who baptizes with a proper, you know, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, minister, lay person, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter if that minister or priest or lay person who's doing the baptizing is in the state of grace. It doesn't depend on them. Baptism is a covenant. God will, Jesus says, I will absolutely be there every time a sacrament is performed by a priest or in some kind of baptism by a minister, whatever. I'll be there every time, regardless of if that person himself or herself is in the state of grace. That doesn't make any difference. I'm going to be there. A covenant is a promise. So the church really believes in that because we faced this for centuries. This question, you know, what if the priest is a no good priest? Hey, it's a covenant. And again, I go back to Peter that night Jesus appeared to the apostles on Easter Sunday night. Peter, 48 hours before then, committed one of the most horrible sins you could forget. Three times he denies Christ. And Jesus says to him, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Whose sins you... He didn't say, Peter, are you sorry? No. He says, whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Whose sins you retain are retained. So, and then another question comes up. Well, where does it say we have to confess our sins to somebody else? Well, read James chapter 6. He says, I'm sorry, James chapter 5. He says, therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. There you go. Confess your sins. Well, you mean just to each other? Yeah, you can. I would tell somebody your sins. People do it all the time, you know. But is he talking about a special one for healing? Yeah, he is. Because he's talking, if you read the right above that, he's talking to, is there anyone sick? He should summon the presbyters of the church. They should pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. So he's talking here about the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. And the Lord will raise them up. So we know the priest has got, the presbyters, which is priests, have got the power to do the anointing of the sick. And then he says, confess your sins. It's assumed that he's still talking about the presbyters. So that's the, I think that these are really interesting ways of looking at that. It's great. And someone also asked the question, how can you overcome bad experiences with a misbehaving priest? I said, well, two things. One, write him a letter. I think he needs to hear from you in black and white what it is. Sometimes it will bring, oh my gosh, I didn't realize, you know. So, yeah. Or I didn't know I was being that noticed. I don't know, whatever. So, yes, write a letter. Number two, pray for the man. Yes, pray. He needs your prayers. Do pray for him. Okay. And he said, I want to return to a church that I am, why would I come to return to the Catholic Church? I'm ashamed of the church, embarrassed by the sins of some of their priests. How can I overlook the corruption and done by it? Well, you really can't. I mean, if it's there, it's there. So, but what you do, you say, well, wait a minute. What, give me a church that doesn't have some kind of weakness on the part of their leaders. They don't exist. Trust me. Did the first church exist? No. Why? Jesus appointed 12 apostles. I know it. Two of them sinned, Judas and Peter. So 10 out of 12, we did all right. So you had it right from the beginning. You're going to have weak people who are in charge. And you can't go judging the whole thing just by a few people. Even though I do it, it is embarrassing. And you just have to say, well, this is it, you know? So yes, that's I think that's very important. So anyway, again, I suggest that people try to pray for priests, try to pray for the church. Go yourself. Don't get down on your own sins. You're human. The church is human, and yet it's divine. Jesus is there forgiving it. The church is doing just fine. Remember that. 99.1% of priests are just great. You get that part of a percentage that are goofing off and whatever, and that spoils it for everybody else. So, but we have to be patient. So God bless you. Remember, take that prodigal, Luke 15, that prodigal son parable, read it, memorize it, live it. Monsignor Frank Bignano, difficult questions. I hope this helped you out a little bit. God bless you. Iowa Catholic Radio.
Join Iowa Catholic Radio every Wednesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. for Thought of the Week with Monsignor Frank Bignano. Listen online at iowacatholicradio.com or on the Iowa Catholic Radio app.